Welcome, everybody. I'm Kyle Hines, and I'll be hosting the Players Podcast, a GTM family production in partnership with the EuroLeague Players Association. I will be having in-depth conversations with current and former EuroLeague players about important topics that many athletes face on and off the basketball court. Stay tuned for more episodes. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Player Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, a basketball legend, one of the most heralded and most prestigious international players in our game today, Mr. Jose Calderon. Jose, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you? Great. Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Thank you. So before we get into our conversation, I got to set the stage and pay a little homage to you. 20-year professional career. You started your EuroLeague career with TAO Victoria back in 2003, and then went on to have a 14-year NBA career, most of the time with the Toronto Raptors. And then you went on to play with Detroit, Dallas, New York, LA, Atlanta, Cleveland, and Detroit again. And then we're going to speak on, your amazing Spanish national team career. Three Olympic medals, a World Cup gold medal, Eurobasket gold medal, two silver medals, two bronze medals. Amazing career, man. So I just want to say hats off to you. Big respect. I mean, you've been, one of my favorite players. One of my teammates is, Chacho Rodriguez. So, I talk about you and, talk about you guys all the time with your Spanish national team. So, I can't forget to mention a lot of the stuff that you do off the court. You're an ambassador with UNICEF, which is amazing. And right now you're working with the NBA, MBPA, as a special assistant to Michelle Roberts. So hats off to that. So just wanted to say, man, thank you. I respect you a lot. And, hats off to amazing, amazing career.
No, thank you. I mean, when you talk about the whole that you just named, and it was an amazing experience. I think it was great. But the most important thing is like you just having this work from guys like you, you've been in the EuroLeague. You say a legend at the beginning. I think I'm talking to a legend.
Thank you.
As well. I think it was amazing what you've been doing all this year. I think it's maybe other way around. Transition is not easy. What you guys do and play all those years in Europe and adjust to new cultures and change countries. So I know how difficult that is. So I think that's something really, really important. And I got the, like you say, great teammates. I think that's the best part to be successful. I think when you have great teams, great teammates, when you work and put the team first, always good things happen. And that was my thing every year, every season. Doesn't matter how much I was playing or how important I was on the court, minutes, talking about minutes or whatever. I think it was more about everything else. I think that's the more important part.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Now we're going to get into our conversation. I know you're a busy guy doing a lot of things. And we're going to talk today, which could be, one of the most scariest phases or scariest words for any athlete. And that is retirement. And we're going to talk, about preparing for retirement. And to set the kind of the backstory, the reason why I wanted to talk to you, not only because of your heralded career, but also because of the many things that you've done off the court. But I think also because you're unique in the fact that you can speak from both perspectives. And I think a lot of our listeners, a lot of the players out there, have opportunity to understand you can speak it both from the NBA professional side, but also as a European player, living and playing in a foreign land. So the first question I have, you've retired in 2019. So you almost been retired for just over one full year. How has retirement been for you? Is there something, what are the positives about retirement? What are the negatives? And then the second question I would have is, what do you miss the most about the game? Is there one thing that you miss the most? And then is there something that you don't miss? Is there something you're just relieved that, after so many years, you don't have to deal with anymore?
Okay, so let me start with what I missed. And I say, the only thing I miss, I think, is just the being in the locker room, be with the guys, they hang out with my teammates, and maybe the competition part of the game, you know, like just go out there every night trying to do things. The good thing about it, like, I mean, I've been so busy the last year because of everything that I didn't have time to think about basketball. So when people ask me, did you miss it? I'm like, I didn't have time. I was lucky enough. And I think that's going to be my point. It's like, I was ready to, what was coming next. I was ready to jump into something, to be busy. I think a lot of players got problem when you retire, but if you don't have a plan after a couple of weeks of doing nothing, vacation is nice, holidays is nice, you spend more time with the family, but we're so used to do stuff, like you just cannot hang out all the time. You need something, you need to keep your mind busy. So I think that's what I did. I think that's the positive part. And that's why I'm not missing basketball that much, because I was able to transition into something else. And the crazy part is, it's been only a year, like you said. But so many things happened in the last year. This is the year what the most happened because of the pandemic and everything. So I was adjusting to my life in the office. And 2 months later, I'm talking with NBA and just talking about canceling the season, getting the bubble ready in Orlando. When we finish that after that crazy, it's like, okay, now we got to prepare another season. So it was like one thing after another that kept my mind busy. And that's why, man, maybe I start missing basketball more now, but it was so quick, everything that hit me, like I didn't have time to think about it.
Now, describe your first day in the office. You know, this after 20 years of being in locker rooms and arenas, and you know, almost having a set routine and a set schedule, you know, every day. You know, what was that first day when you walked into the office and you know suddenly you're sitting at your desk and you're just like, okay, you know what? Well, describe that first day for us.
You know, it is crazy and it's totally different because now, okay, you get there, your role is different from maybe be a leader on the court, a guy who everybody was listening to a different kind of like a part of the team. So yeah, now you, that's the first thing, your role changed. So now I got there, I get to my office, you know, like an hour before my first meeting, I'm there. So just looking around, you get your computer ready, you get everything set up. And it's almost like, okay, let's see what's next. You know your role, you know, you have your meetings, you know what they're expecting from you. So now you get that hour, get the time, and you start walking. You walk into that meeting, sit there, and it's kind of like you start listening and see where you can fit, where you can help. That's what Michelle brought me for. But my first day was just, it's kind of like, I guess it could be a little bit when you change teams, even if you play and you know some of those guys and you get the first day on that new locker room, you always kind of like get to, okay, let's see how things work here. You know, so you kind of like a sit around and kind of like a look to everywhere and just go from there.
So how long do you think it took you to get adjusted to kind of like full retirement? Well, like you said, you know, a lot of things happen, but when did you wake up and not feel like a professional basketball player anymore? And suddenly did you feel like, you know, a person that's working a 9-to-5?
I think it was more, you know, maybe after the first, second week, you start getting used to it. You start getting waking up, getting the kids ready, drop them to school, walk to the office or taking the subway to the office. So when you do that for like 10, 14 days, now you're like, okay, this is what it is. Going back home and get lunch maybe with my wife and pick up the kids and go to basketball. So it was more on the, okay, this is my daily day, my daily routine now, how I adjust to it, do I like it, what I gotta change. The good thing about it, like I was, Michelle and the PA was so flexible with my time that I didn't have to be from 10 to 5 or 9 to 5. That was one of the first things I say. I'm like, look, I just retired. If you guys need me from 10 to 5, maybe I'm not your guy. I need time to adjust. I need time to freedom. I want to be spend time with my quality time with my kids.
Which is important.
So that was one of the first things. It was like a learning process. I don't know what will happen in the future, but at the beginning, I didn't want to just like from one day practicing to the next day, just sitting in an office 9 hours. I think that's a big change too. So they helped me with that. So that was great.
That's really good. Now let's kind of circle back a little bit. Now you're playing and you're an NBA professional. When did you start start preparing for retirement? When did it kind of like sink in? Like, I need to start, figuring out what's next. At what stage of your career did you start, start aligning those things, start putting those things together?
Well, it was more of like my last three years when I kind of like I was more focused into it. I knew mm-hmm. it was like, I don't know if it was going to play 2, 3, or 4, but I knew, it was getting there. I was, getting older. My role was changing. And more because of my role, it was more about, man, I miss my boys. I miss my kids. I wanted to spend time with them. And I was just putting stuff on the balance. And I was like, okay, basketball is here. The money wasn't an issue, thanks, to all my whole career. So now putting that apart, it was about everything else. It was like, okay, what else can I do? Can I help basketball in a different way? Can I help somebody else? What are my businesses now? Are my investments ready? Do I need to spend more time with UNICEF or my foundation? So I was starting putting on my mind everything, okay? I'm putting, okay, this is where I am. I know I can play 3 more years, but what if nobody calls next year? I'm ready? So that was the questions. And after I start thinking about it, so I'm like, okay, let me get ready. I want to be more prepared. Do I need to study? What I need to study? So that's when I started doing stuff with in university. I went to do the Harvard stuff like we do, crossover into business.
Yeah.
I did a UCLA thing about foundations. I did a couple of things with universities in Spain, just to be more familiar with maybe sometime with just themes that I was talking with my investor, like, hey, what is an EBITDA? If I want to invest in a restaurant, what I have to look for? So it was just to be more prepared on everything. So I was studying almost in every plane, hotel rooms, the last 3 years, that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Classes online, getting ready, without really knowing what I wanted to do. That's important, because there is people who know I want to be a coach.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That make everything a little bit even easier, because you can prepare to be a coach. But for me, I wasn't sure if I wanted to join a front office, if I wanted to join MBA or a, maybe MBPA. So it was more about, okay, let me get ready, kind of like a little bit of everything. Let me get more educated on business stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started. And after, just start having meeting with people. And this job kind of like a open up, and they talked to me, they approached me, and I thought it was a great opportunity, and that's why I took it. So it was my last, three years when I start putting everything in perspective.
Now, is there, we mentioned, one of the things you miss the most is the locker rooms and the kind of the discussion with the guys. Is this something, this retirement or life after basketball, is this something that is a common conversation or a common topic that guys talk about in the locker rooms, amongst each other or amongst coaches or much other people?
I think it's getting better. Mm-hmm. I think my first few years in the league, I think it was a big kind of like a gap between rookies and veterans.
Yeah.
There is always some veterans who were able to help more, but rookies were maybe it was too quiet. I'm not saying it was like nobody's fault. I think it was trying to put things together. I think sometimes you talk in the locker room about other players or games or whatever, other sports, but maybe we didn't get into the important part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, family, what are you doing? What investments are you doing? Sometimes we always talk about the good things. Mm-hmm. Instead about the things that maybe they didn't work out well. I think those are even more important sometimes, because those are the things we should share with our teammates. Why? Because we don't want those guys to experience the same mistakes, like for whatever reason we all have.
Yeah.
It could be a bad investment. It could be a bad advice from a financial advisor, whatever it is. But we all go through something, even with family. And I think we forgot that. I think that is important to bring it up and to let guys know. I always was pretty, open and talk mm-hmm. and getting new guys to talk. And sometimes it takes time to maybe trust you, and they don't know where you're coming from. And that's why, that those talks are important. And when they know you are with the right heart and just trying to really help, I think it's important to have those conversations too, not only about what happened in soccer or who played good, or I think there is more that we can talk and we can help each other, because we are all in the same on this, and we're going to have the same opportunities. It doesn't matter how much money you make, We all going through the same first steps, and it's important to talk about.
Now, one of the questions I also have too is about the NBA and just sports in general is becoming younger. You know, there's not as many veteran guys, and there's not as many older, kind of it was, back before. So how are you now that you are retired? How are you, kind of reaching out and reaching back, or do younger guys, especially guys that are European guys, do those guys reach out to you, to speak to you about, retirement and, how you've been able to transition into your career, and what kind of questions or what type of things do they ask you?
Yeah, I mean, everything is kind of like the same. No, it's about how it is. That's the first thing. You never retire. So the first time is the first time in everything, how everything is going to come to you. So that's why the being prepared, the talking, the asking questions are really important. I think everybody should, like, I'm always open, but I mean, if somebody is going to get to that point, I think it's good to just reach out and say, hey, Jose, what was your biggest problem? What your advice? And I will say, hey, man, just don't think about getting ready when you retire. Mm-hmm. Why? Because maybe it's too late. You don't want to get to that point where you really need to start asking questions or calling people. You should be able to get ready before that, because you don't know. That doesn't mean you got to jump into something right away.
Yeah.
But just being prepared, knowing what to expect. And I think that's the more important thing, just to those questions. And after is about, do you know what you want to do? And that's really important. Some guys don't know, and it's okay. I think it's good to try different things. There is a lot of stuff out there to being able to, for people to help you, to say, hey, let me see. Maybe I like coaching. Maybe I like broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Maybe I like something. Just do a stuff. We have so much off time to being able to get better at that. And the problem is sometimes to reach out to young guys, and I understand, and it happened with our rookies here in the NBA.
Yeah.
Talking to a guy about retirement when they just got to the league.
Doesn't make sense.
it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And I always talk to our guys in the PA. I'm like, you imagine, you work so hard. You are 19 years old. You get to the league. And now there is some guy telling you, hey, you got to be prepared when you retire. I mean, man, I just got to the league.
Yeah.
So I think it's there is ways to say, look, I know you have a lot of time ahead of you, but there is something you always should have in mind. We don't know for how long you're going to be in the league. Mm-hmm. It could be an injury. And your retirement, we don't want it, but it could be next year. So it's just about being prepared, how much money you're making, how you're saving. Because even if you play 1 year, you're making more money than maybe people make in a whole life.
In a whole lifetime.
So just be prepared for that. I always say, don't think that guys say, oh, when I have my second contract, I'm going to do this. You don't have it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be thinking about that. You have what you have, and you should be thinking about that. So that's why, that's what I told the young guys. I'm like, man, you don't know. We want you to play 20 years, but there is so many stuff that could happen that we're talking about something different the year after that. So it's time for everything. Just put it something in your mind. Just to keep it there. That would be my advice to those young guys.
Now, you talked about you did, a bunch of different programs, UCLA program, the Harvard, sports business program. Is there one, specific thing or one specific program that stood out to you that you really, learned a lot from that you would say that you would even recommend to other people or other players?
Yeah, those two are great. One is because the crossover into business in mm-hmm. Harvard, I think it's a great because there is all other athletes around the world, like US mostly, but they're all athletes. So you just talk to them. You're there for 2 days. After everything is online, you do case studies, and you work with a partner or with a group. So these guys that they are in the same situation, they play soccer or tennis, or they are Olympics, some other Olympic sports, but they're all kind of like in the same situation. So that's good to be able to work with other people and realize like there is a lot of people that they're going through the same thing and they're mm-hmm. trying to learn and they're trying to, so that's a good idea. The one I did in UCLA was through the MBPA. It was about foundations. It was about working with UNICEF. I wanted to have my foundation and it was just to trying to figure out and to learn more how to being able to give back, to help other people and to create something that it could be like kind of like impactful in my community, back in Spain. So those two are great. The ones I did in Spain, it was more specific about my businesses, my investments. It was about from accounting to startups, how to work from a startup to a scale up. You know, just to see, okay, I got my little business. What I got to do? What are the next step? How I can get better to maybe to grow it? So it was really specific about what I wanted to do. And there is a ton of stuff. The good thing we have in the PA, in the Player Association, is like we actually pay for all those. Like we help guys to go to do all of those, and there will be free for them, or even get back to college because they didn't finish their college, and we'll pay the tuition for them as well. So there is so many opportunities, and that's what I did. That's what the ones I was doing because I needed to learn from my experience.
Now, you talked about a little bit before about, you know, younger guys reaching out to you or you talking to younger guys. Can you speak on, you know, did you have any, you know, somebody that you asked questions to, so older player, veteran players, you know, did you have kind of like a mentor that kind of helped you out? And you kind of speak on the importance of that if you did have one?
Yes. Like, you know, when I got to the league, I think in Spain it was a little bit different because of what I say. You get too professional, you're too young. But our culture is a little bit different.
Yeah.
So yes, you are in Spain, but at the same time, I'm thinking, okay, should I get a mortgage, my first house? Should I buy a car? What kind of a car? So I was a little bit maybe more worried about, I wasn't sure how many more years I was going to play. So I'm like, I was trying to make the most of the money that I have. And my parents were onto me all the time about, hey, you just got to save. We good here or there. So that's one part. And the other part is like, yeah, I mean, it is difficult to get to so many questions and things that when you're young, how to get everything in your mind to make sure you're doing the right thing, you know? So I look at, I got to Toronto and Derek Martin, he was a veteran hockey player already like 10, 12 years in the league. And he gets us a third pointer. But not even that, he arrived the first day and told me, hey, Jose, I'm the third point guard. I'm a veteran. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to take your minutes. So that was just like, oh, okay. It's almost like, okay, I can trust this guy. So he was the guy who kind of like helped me out to everything, how the NBA life was about. So he helped me every day with everything. And after I was lucky to, they got Anthony Parker my second year. He came from Europe. He played in Europe in Maccabi. And he came to the Raptors. So now he played in the NBA and in Europe at the highest level. So I got another veteran who was helping me with both ways. Chris Boss was the second year of a Chris Boss, or third year when I arrived. So it was a great relationship there. So I got guys who was able to help me and to ask questions. I got a little bit of everything. Like Chris Boss was a superstar already, or almost there. But I was able to talk to Derek Martin, who was on the last years of his career. Or Anthony Parker, who was just, you know, a role player, great career, but he was in the middle. So the three of them, I was touching and asking questions to all of them. And that helped me a lot.
That's good. That makes a lot of sense. Now, we touched on your playing career. And like I said before, you retired in 2019. I talked to a lot of older guys, you know, whether or not it's like Kevin Martin or Anthony Parker or a bunch of these guys. And they're saying, play as long as you possibly can, you know? So my question to you is, you know, when you retired, when did you know that it was time to walk away? And then how difficult, you know, of a decision was that? Because I mean, in one of the things of professional sports, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of us don't get the luxury to retire when we want to retire, you know, either it's because of injury or it's because, you know, the team, you know, kind of pushes you along. But, you know, for you, you know, when did you kind of know that, like, no, this is it? And, you know, like I said, was it a difficult decision?
I think that was one of the things that for me was the more important. I wanted to retire when I wanted to retire. And I think you start kind of like seeing what's going on. What is the trend?
Yeah.
You know, okay, my role, I was always really honest with myself. I was the first one. Nobody had to tell me what I was able to do or not. I can see it. If I wasn't playing, maybe it was because of me. It was maybe my... whatever. Maybe I wasn't ready to play in the NBA no more. for my age, for my speed, for whatever it was. So I was always honest in that situation. So for me, it was like, okay, you know, the teams is getting there. This is the role I have. It's not going to get better. This is the role maybe I'm going to have next year too.
Yeah.
How valuable it is, how bad I want it. Is maybe the time is playing 14 years in the league or 15 years in the league make it different. It's going to be the same role. So my question was, okay, if there is no one of the big teams who call me to maybe have another chance to kind of like a play for a championship, maybe it's time. I'm maybe tired of working out a lot and practice more than anybody, but traveling the same. But now I'm missing my family.
Yeah.
So if money it was out of the question, now it's like, okay, the balance is, you know, getting to, you know, the family kind of like way. So that's why the last 2-3 years was like, okay, I have to be prepared just in case, you know? So I didn't want, I always say this, we shouldn't get to September and say, oh, I don't have a team, what yeah. I should do.
Yeah.
So yes, play as long as you can, but be honest with yourself. So if there is no injuries, it cannot get you by surprise. There is a reason. There is something. You get in there. You can feel it. You can feel it like for whatever reason. Now, there is always going to be situations. You always can go to a second division or like, I mean, second division, like going lower and lower because you love basketball and you're okay with it and it's your terms. But that's when you got to make or your mind. Like, do I want it to get back to Europe at some point? I have a few calls. I don't think so. It was time for my family. I think they kind of like were with me with the NBA, and now it was their time. I didn't want to get back to Europe and move everybody, and so I was sure like it was their time now. So I think that's what it is. I think it's putting everything into a balance and I start thinking, okay, this is my terms. This is what I want to do. Do I want to retire as a EuroLeague player? Do I want to retire to? No, maybe I want to go to play somewhere else. Maybe I want to try China, or I want to play try Australia. Different role, different, but that's your term. So I think that's the biggest issue for me. I was ready to say, this is it. I want it to be me. I didn't want to be in that September saying nobody's calling in the NBA. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, I think one of the important keys you hit on is just to be honest with yourself. And I think, you know, sometimes I think that's especially as you become older, you know, and more of a veteran player, and, you know, sometimes some of your skills diminish and different things like that. I feel like players find it more difficult to be honest with yourself because, you know, you still have that competitive spirit in mind. You know, you still want to go out and play. You still want to go out and contribute. But like you said, sometimes the writing is already on the wall and you just got to just kind of, you know, already know and already be prepared.
I'm ready to go back tomorrow if they ask me to. But I know what I wanted to say is like, man, I know my minutes, I know my numbers, I know what I can do. Can I help a team at that situation? Yes, and that's why I was working out until last minute and getting ready and telling teams, look, I'm not ready to do this again this way. I'm waiting only for these 3, 4, 5 teams. If I can make a third pointer on these teams, I'm okay having this role again. Now, doing it again, not practicing, I'm going to be able to help you, but I need somebody to get injured. I need somebody to, because I know my minutes are not real. You're looking for something different. And now I'm a veteran. I know I cannot maybe play 38 minutes for you. Maybe I cannot play one-on-one against Damian Lillard anymore.
Yeah.
but you got to be honest with yourself. I'm going to compete. I'm going to kick him. I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do, but you got to be honest and say, okay, maybe my role is not 38 minutes. Maybe it's 18. Maybe I can help the team here. Maybe this is the teams I can help. So I always was pretty honest. I knew what I could do when I was younger, what I could do it in the middle, what I was able to do at the end. I think that's helped me a lot. And that's why it was always easy for me on my mind to go to the next step. I think that was, you know, even with all the, if I go there, I can do it better than this.
Yeah,
guy. Because we all going to have that in our minds.
We all think that,
but okay, yes, I can, but why I'm not doing it? Why the coach is not putting me, or why what I should do? Or so that was always my thinking about that situation.
And I talk to some guys, and you know, some guys on my team are like, you know, when I retire, I'm never going to touch a basketball again. I'm never going to, you know, shoot another jump shot. Just a funny kind of curious question. How often are you in the PA gym putting up jumpers since you've been retired, or shooting around? Are you at the local 24-hour fitness, you know, running some pickup games since you've been done?
Look, it's tough. Like, the beginning was like that. The staff members even play couple of times a week or once a week. So I play with them, I play against them. It is difficult to just say, I'm not touching the basketball as right now, because sometimes we frustrated, we tire. But it's what we've been doing forever. So how are you going to just forget about something that it gave us so much? So like you say, even having the basketball there, like I just, sometimes I walk by and I dribble three times and take a shot and go back. It's like, it's just there. And I don't miss it. But it's something you're so used to it. Yeah. Like, and for me, I was lucky enough because I'm going to maybe get my son to basketball. So now he's, you know, while they are in the other, you know, I'm there and I'm getting a couple of sats here and there. So
just to see if you still got it.
so it's tough to say, oh, I'm not touching. It's true, like I maybe didn't practice like for real or play too many pickup games, but it's tough, man. It is there. You see that basketball and you just reach out. You just reach to pick it up and just bounce three times. It's almost like, nice. And just put it back, you know, but it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. So we'll see to those guys who say, oh, I'm not touching a basketball again, because they're going to have their son. They're going to go to basketball to practice. And when they see that ball bouncing, there's no way they're sitting in that chair. They're going to wake up, they're going to stand up, they're going to pick it up, they're going to get two shots. They maybe sit later, but they will do it. It's tough to just say no.
That's absolutely true. Now, to a little bit of a more of a serious topic, when it comes to retirement, do you think that that athletes and, you know, some of the athletes that you may know, do you think that they're afraid of retirement? Do you think sometimes guys, you know, kind of, I guess, run from retirement or have any fear or anxiety about, you know, what's next? And have you experienced that, or have you known anybody, like you said, dealing with, you know, in the teammates or anybody, you know, to kind of experience that fear and that kind of anxiety when it comes to retirement or talking about retirement? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I think there is a lot of guys who happen, and that's why the being prepared part is so important, and getting ready. And so all that we just talk about, I think is about that. It's about, hey, you don't know, but nobody knows. And there's a lot of guys who are being successful after basketball. So that means there is a way. Why, you know, that's why we gotta ask. That's why we gotta comment on, like, okay, what you did, how you did it. And some guys that are successful, they have a tough, maybe a rough 2 or 3 years until they figure it out. So that's why the sooner you can figure out what you want to do is the better, is, you know, that will be the best. But I mean, it is difficult. I didn't, like I said, I think I was lucky enough to jump right away into something to keep me busy, that I didn't experience that was going on. Mm-hmm. And I think situations are different. I think if you are okay with money wise, then you maybe don't have that rush into doing something. Now, if you're not prepared, and I'm not saying mentally, but even, you know, with your economy, your daily basis, and you need the money, then it gets you into, there is more trouble. There is the rush into, I need a job, I need this, because you need to provide to your family or even just for yourself. So there is a lot of steps going on into that. And that's why I think it's important to like we said before, we'd be talking, like, ask questions. Yeah. Why this guy being successful? Why this guy have problems? But we have so many guys, like, they gone broke or they have problems after basketball because they think, you know, it's going to be easy, and it's not.
Yeah, so you touched on it. You know, one of the biggest things is that's been, you know, talked about, a big topic, is the mental health. And, you know, that's one of the things that occurs a lot when, you know, guys retire. They say a lot of, you know, guys, you know, because of the identity crisis, you know, they, you know, for their whole entire life, you know, up to this point, they've been known as a basketball player or known as a professional athlete. So, you know, once that stops, you know, they're suddenly like, okay, well, what am I now? You know, when I'm in the streets, you know, people aren't no longer identify me as just a basketball player. So they kind of struggle, you know, with regular life, you know, whether or not it's like states of depression or isolation and different things like that. So I want to ask you, knowing this and knowing that many athletes go through this, you know, what are some of the things that the PA does, to help players with the whole mental aspect, coming out of retirement? I think I was reading one article and they were saying like it's almost like postpartum PTSD, where it's like, you know, where athletes are coming or people are coming back from, you know, soldiers coming back from the States or something like that. So what programs do you guys have available for athletes?
And I think one of the most important things that you just touched, there is so many people that we went through going through stuff that we don't think is a mental health problem. Yeah. I think we feel is, oh, it is pressure, or oh, I'm just not playing good, but I don't feel right with myself. And you go home and you have a rough week for whatever reason. And now that people open up, and now that it's easier to talk about it, now you're going back and say, man, I think I have time during my career that I maybe wasn't right. My mind wasn't in the right space, but you maybe didn't know. We are human beings, and we had all the pressure in the world, and we have to be 100% every day and perform in front of a lot of people. So I think that's really important. And we have a program like with the PA, and every team now is mandatory to have a mental health a psychologist in their team as a staff member. Just because of that, I think we gotta help guys just to talk about, just to kind of like an open up. And sometimes, like I say, just the pressure of being in the NBA or being in a EuroLeague in whatever team, we don't realize that it's a problem there. And sometimes we need to talk to somebody to help us and to train our mind too. So we have a program for that. We have a doctor. We have a former player. Kenyon Dooling was doing it. Mm-hmm. He just went to Utah. So there is another player coming in, a former player, but it was the contact for mental health, for help, whatever. And after, we can put you in contact with somebody in your town, or this guy just will travel, and it will totally confidential, just to help guys. It's kind of like a line for them to just reach out and try to see what's next.
That's very important. Now, I ask a lot of guys too about retirement, and sometimes they say that the hardest thing about retirement for them is filling that void, that competitive fire that you have. You know, you can no longer go to practice. You can no longer, you know, feel that competitive. So, you know, what ways have you kind of filled that void? I know some guys say they do golf, or they, you know, they find some other type of competitive sport or something like that. But, you know, what ways have you filled it, and have you find it difficult to kind of fulfill, you know, that void that's missing from, you know, competitive athletics?
For me, this is crazy, but it was trying to stay in shape. So, So I'm like, okay, I got to figure out what is the way of, because my body was asking me for, you kind of just sit after all this year. It's asking, like, for me, like every day I got to do something. It's almost like I just need a little sweat to feel good, whatever. So I'm like, okay. So I start going to the gym and I start to work out. I'm like, I'm missing something. So I start, and this is so crazy, I start with a classes of like biking. Kind of like, cycling and just going with the music and stuff like that. And I realized, okay, you know, after a while, I'm like, I'm just getting bored.
Yeah.
So I'm checking, and there is a class who it was called Pursuit. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, let me check. So now I see there is a huge screen. We are 40 in the class, and you compete. And you see your number going up and down against other guys. I'm like, okay. I got it. So now I'm getting into that. I'm getting into that the first day, and I'm going like crazy. And I finish myself like eighth. I'm like, no way. I'm looking around. I'm like, no way I can finish eighth. So then I start realizing this was more about resistance than the speed. So I'm figuring out now I'm winning. I'm top one, top, you know, first of second every day. So now I know the guys. Now we're looking at each other. I'm like, this is my best hour of the day. So I was going 3-4 times a week to that class just to compete. I needed that. And I was getting home. I'm like, you know, the best part, my wife was like, what are you doing? I'm like, look, this is perfect. I go there and I know if I don't give my 100%, I'm not winning. Mm-hmm. Because there is other guys who are in the same shape as me. They've been biking for longer and they beat me. So I need to give 100%. So it was a perfect workout for me. So that's how I get into into shape, and I take that competitiveness way out of my day. It was with the biking.
That's perfect.
So that's the story.
And that's perfect. I love it. That's perfect. So people can find you in a studio in New York City,
yes.
cycling.
I was not going to Equinox there, and I love it. It was great. Like I said, after you start getting a relationship with guys because they know you and they compete against you too. It is fun. It was pretty fun.
That's cool. Now, like one of the other reasons why I wanted to have you on here is because you have experience as a European player. Going through retirement and going through this transition. And a lot of European players, especially the players I talked to, you started your professional career, I think at 16, you said, or you left home around at 16. And for those that don't know, the European system is different than the American system. You know, we still have to go to high school. A lot of guys still go to college. So, you still get your degree. But then the problem is for a lot of European players is that, you become professional at 16, and you're playing your career, and then all of a sudden you're 34, 35, and you don't have your degree because you've been playing basketball literally all your life. So can you speak about that? And how can, European players, especially European players playing in EuroLeague or playing in leagues, help to transition, into retirement, when they don't have their degree, or there's a program that you know about where they can go back to get the degree? Because I feel a lot of times it's, when these guys retire, it's only they can do one or two things. It's like coaching, being involved in some type of, basketball director, being a part of the federation, and that's it. So, I want you to speak on that a little bit.
And that's a big difference. I think there is good things about the US way of kind of like growing up in basketball, and there is good things about the European one. But one is that, and one of the things that happens, like you say, like I left my home when I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. Okay, so from 13 to 17, it was my parents, and they like, look, okay, the kid can go. I went to Vitoria, and it was like 700 kilometers from my house. And my parents were like, yeah, he can go, but study first. Yeah. Like he's 13 years old, that's all he can do. Like after you can practice him as many times as you want, but he gotta go to school. So, but when you get to 17, 18, you gotta make a decision. And that's what happened. I started college. I say, okay, I want to do both. I can do maybe part in person, part online, but it was impossible. Mm-hmm. You cannot start saying, look, I got to miss the practice because I got an exam or a game. So I'm like, okay, let me be professional. So I make that decision, like you say, and just at 18, I'm professional, but I got no college degree. I got nothing. Yeah. So, but I always talk about it. Okay, it's an opportunity. It's an experience. Even if you're older, I was on my mind, I always can go back and study, or like you say, let's find which programs I could do. Like, even if there is no, like maybe a college degree, I can start educating myself how I can be growing up, because I don't know for how long I'm going to be able to play. And like you say, like you're 34, you have no college degree, you maybe don't make an amazing amount of money, then you need to figure something out.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's important to think about what programs I can do. There is so much time we spend in hotels and planes that you can use to just read, to just start figuring things out. And those are the time we gotta, at the beginning you can play a PlayStation for a while, but there's so many hours. So I think that's a good mix. And that will be my advice to really think about what I like. Even like I said before, maybe it's just because you invest in your money in opening a restaurant or opening a club some back home, or opening whatever you want to do, just to know more about that business. Maybe that's the way, your way out. Maybe that's your way of educating yourself to be better at that and just be good at that. But you shouldn't just, like I said before, you shouldn't just wait until the 33, 34. So there's so many places now where you can do everything online. So many programs that they got college degrees. So like I say, it could be about sport managing. It could be about accounts. It could be about whatever you really want to be. You're able to do it and to look for it. So there is so many in every country now that is easy.
That's good. That's a lot of good advice. Now, like I said, I know you're a busy guy, and I got two more questions before we let you get out of here. So first would be, and you get already given, so much great advice, but specifically, what advice would you give, to players, athletes, basketball, whatever, when it comes to retirement, when it comes to transitioning, you know, guys that are about to be retired, and then also guys that are already retired, you know, what advice would you give throughout your experience, you know, your own personal experience, but also experiences that you know from different players?
I think it will be, first, you got to be honest with yourself, mm-hmm. just to know you're getting there. So be honest with yourself, be prepared, really ask tough questions, but to yourself, on the sense of like, what I want to do, what's next, what I like, what is my, I want to be like we touch, like we're going to be a coach or front office or a businessman, whatever. So I think you got to be a step by step to have that clear. So you know, so you're ready for whatever is next. And if you already retire, it's, you know, never too late to see, okay, this is what I like, this is what I want to do, and what I, you know, what contacts I still have, who can help me to really you know, kind of like get this whatever it is I want to do. So I think that will be the advice, like, hey, don't wait until last minute, be prepared, be honest with yourself, and just start thinking about putting that in your mind of like, hey, the time is gonna arrive, what's next and why and how to do it. So I think that will be the best advice.
Now, can you explain your role with the NBPA, and then also explain, as you know, we're the EuroLeague Players Association, and, you know, we're trying to, you know, getting our association on the ground. Can you explain, you know, the importance, you know, of a Players Association and, you know, how it has benefited you, you know, throughout your whole entire career?
Yeah, well, like right now it was more about we never have like a player in the office in a daily basis, okay? So the first approach to Michelle and Mateo and the guys and the PA was about, we need somebody. We do a lot of stuff. We got all the departments, but we don't have actually a voice there to say, look, what you guys doing, maybe the guys don't like it. And, you know, the PA work for players, but sometimes we spend money or we do the stuff that guys don't really care about. And we should like maybe, but we don't have that. We expect them to like it.
Yeah,
but we don't have we are not players, you know?
Don't so have that was perspective.
Exactly. So that was the beginning. At the beginning was more about, this is what we're doing. So I was meeting with every department of different projects. And it was, maybe it was just little things of like, guys don't gonna do that at all. Why you guys don't switch to that? And maybe we were spending too much time or too much money on something that, it looked good. Yes, it was with the best intention, but guys don't use it. So why are we gonna do it? So I started like that. I started like Michelle needed to have a voice of a player in all the departments and see what the departments were doing and how they were doing it. And after, you know, just when you start working, and I was part of the task force to like we talked before about the bubble and NBA and my own projects or what I thought it was something it was good. So I was just putting kind of like a little groups together, and Michelle put me in charge of some projects or. So it was kind of like getting into, you know, a bigger role. But at the beginning was just that. It was just like, hey, we need a player. We need to know what you think on the stuff that we're doing. Is this right? Are we doing it the right way?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first few months. It was kind of like getting into that, into knowing everybody, knowing how the PA really work, what project we have, and how I could help from a player's perspective to do those projects better.
That's good. Now, continue.
The second part. Yeah, no, it helped us a lot. I think we don't realize how important it is here in the, you know, the PA is for us, and they have all kind of problems from transitioning to whatever you need, they're there for you and they have the answers. They're not your agent. They're not the NBA. They're just for the players. We hire those guys. And I think people sometimes don't realize that. I think you see us at another company, but it's actually your company.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from Michelle to the last person, they work for you.
Yeah.
So when you call, they're going to answer and they're going to give you the best answer possible to help you, you know, do whatever you need from whatever kind of advice. So I'm looking for a financial advisor. They will give you one or a few names. They will give you you want to do a foundation. They will help you to open a foundation. You needed to do a camp with kids. They will help you to do that. So there is so many little things, even or legal, or you got a problem with your agent, whatever you can think about it, they're there for you. So during my whole career, it was in a lot of situations. You just need a call to ask a question. There is something mm-hmm. coming from the NBA or from your team that you're not sure is right. So you always ask and say, hey, can they do this? Is this the right way? Are we okay with this? So just a little question, they're there for you. That's the best part. And it's been a great relationship. And like I said, I never thought I was going to be working for them.
Yeah.
But it just came. And it was an amazing opportunity for a player association in the US to reach out to an international player to do this. So that's why I thought it was, I had to say yes and to accept this role. And I thought it was really important. And now one of my things is like, I got to look for who is going to be next.
So you got to find your replacement, exactly.
Yes, because actually, like you can imagine, Kyle, like after a couple of years out of the locker room, you don't know exactly what's going on in the locker room.
Very true.
There is new guys. There is new. They use different things. They talk about different things. So I think it should be another guy doing the same of, okay, I just retired. I know what's going on. But for me, maybe after the next season, okay, I don't know what's really going on in the locker room. I still have my contacts, my friends, but the daily, I think you lost that. So in this role, you need somebody to just retire to actually have a more closer, reality of what's going on and, mm-hmm. and if that's good or bad. So that's one of my job too, to say, okay, from this guy who are about to retire, who could be able to or wanted to live in New York and do this? So that will be another stuff to do.
It's not a bad responsibility at all.
It is nice. I mean, like I say, it's exciting. It's something new. You learn a lot. I ask a lot of questions and I'm willing to, to have a different role in this. And my role now is what it is. And it will be changing, but I love it. It's still a team sport, if we could say that.
Yeah. Team sport off the court. Now, yes. last two questions. You, like I said before, we mentioned in a bunch, you played 20 years, between Europe and in the NBA. Advice to younger players who want to have your type of success, who want to have, longevity and want to have, a great professional career. What would your advice be?
Well, you got to take care of yourself. Uh-huh. I think that's the more important. If you're able to be professional, that's number two. And sometimes it's not all about talent. I wasn't the best ever on my position, but I was able to adjust. I was able to put my teammates first. I was able to put my team first. So I think it's just finding the role, why that team wants you, why you're in that team, what is the role you want. And I think that was important. I was on all kinds of teams, good teams and not so good teams. And I was trying to be important in all of them. Sometimes with more time with the ball in my hands, sometimes more of a shooter, sometimes mm-hmm. more of a mentor, whatever. But I think it's about that. It's about being willing to sacrifice sometimes stuff just because of the good of a team to be successful. And I always put this example. In the national team, and we commented before, we all get to the national team being the best, maybe the best player in our teams or one of the best roles.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to Spain and we say, okay, this is not about us anymore. It's about Spain. It's about our country. It's about our team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not me wanting to play 40 or Sergio now, or mm-hmm. it's about, okay, this pressure is on the coach. We know what we got to do. I don't know who is going to play more. We'll do our best, but we're going to put our egos aside just because we want to sacrifice to be for the team and we want to win. And like you say, we were a world champion. Who was the world champion? All of us.
Yeah.
We don't know how many. I don't even know how many minutes I played that game. Or if
it doesn't matter.
More or less than that. You know what I mean? And that's the point. And I think that's why I was in the league for so long. Maybe it wasn't because, the numbers I was putting at the end, but it was more about I was giving something to the team that they needed me to be there, to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's adjusting. It's sacrificing stuff. It's being professional. It's work hard every day. It's trying to get better. And, so that will be the advice. Like, you don't have to be the 30-point guy every day. There is other guys who maybe are the ones you're doing that on that team. Doesn't mean you don't want to keep working to be that guy.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you got to realize when is that time.
I mean, that's great advice, and I appreciate you for that. And the last question, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Who is your favorite current EuroLeague player, and who is your favorite, all-time favorite EuroLeague player?
Oh, it's tough. Yeah. It's tough. I always like, it's tough, man. I always, so many good players. I always like Navarro, you know, Juan Carlos in what he did in EuroLeague, and he was always amazing. But I mean, in the history of the EuroLeague, so many amazing. I love Spanoulis too. Yeah. Spanoulis was always a guy, even if like we were kind of like close into the same generation, but because I left
rivals earlier, a little bit. But
in a good way, but always was somebody who like, man, the way he was playing. And so I always like him too a lot. So yeah, I could say those two, those are amazing. And right now, I like, you know, he's my guy, but I like to see Sergio playing. You know, the last week was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, he's still getting this pass behind the back and stuff like that. So I always enjoy him a lot, you know. But so many good players, man. Mike James in Moscow, you know, when he got hurt, is amazing. But Shane Larkin, he was a rookie with me in Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, wow.
So I love... Yeah, he was a rookie, and after we went to New York together, so it is nice to see what he was able to adjust. Even he had a good season in Boston, but after he got back there, he got to FS, one of the best players. He adjusts his game to the EuroLeague, and you know, so those are guys that I always like to see, because you know, like I say, you know how to be good in whatever situation, and you adjust and you say, okay, this is me, I'm gonna be the best one here, and I can do it because I'm good enough. And sometimes it's not about talent, you know, there is guys in the EuroLeague that have more talent than guys here in the league. So there is other things that are involved with being in the right situation or the right coach or whatever it is. So I think it's good to have those guys being successful there too, and they're nice to watch.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time and giving us so much knowledge and, you know, giving us so much today. And I wish you all the best. I'm sure that, you know, we'll be bumping into each other and running into each other very soon. So take care. All my best to your family. Please tell Mateo and Michelle that I said hello. And we'll see you very soon. Thank you.
Actually, Artie sent me a second to Carl, because I have he's working with us now.
Okay.
So he's like, yeah, let Carl know too, because, you know, and I was there with the Knicks that year.
Yeah.
And that's why I knew IRT and I knew, you know, your wife and stuff like that. So that's how the connection started. But I mean, you know, I will. Good luck to the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you. And, one thing I have to say, my wife says that you were definitely one of her favorite players to work with. She says that all the time. Every time I told her I was talking to you today, and she told me to tell you hello, but she says that you definitely were one of her most favorite players that she ever worked with at her time with the Knicks.
And that's the more valuable stuff for me. Like I always say, basketball, you always can, you know, there is people who are going to love you and hate you, but I think what you leave behind, the people who you work with, your teammate, I think that's what I take with from my 20 years career.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that love, being able to call somebody and be friend and don't have bad relationships. I think that was the best part. And so thank you. I love that. That make my day. Oh. So that's all I'm looking for. So thank you.
Thank you so much, man. We'll talk again soon. Take care.